We are starting about the God's secrets, and we are in week four, and we're talking about the Masons. I am quoting from Albert Pike, who said, "Fictions are necessary for the people, and the truth becomes deadly to those who are not strong enough to contemplate it in all its brilliance. In fact, what can there be in common between the vile multitude and sublime wisdom? The truth must be kept secret so that the masses need a teaching proportion to their imperfect reason." Albert Pike, the father of all Masons, who lived from 1809 to 1891, is who we quote because it's who Masons quote. It is the Masonic Bible for them. Albert Pike. Masonry compares itself to Solomon's temple of old and builds its temple, its words, not mine, in the hearts of men. Pay real close attention to that. We're going to talk about the temple. We're going to talk about pillars in the temple. We're going to talk about what the mother of all secrets are. You want to know what the secret of Masonry is? Pay attention, because it's not what you think. From day one, Masonry was founded by Lucifer, the angel of light, to bring deception upon this earth in the form of a religion. Don't discount the fact Masonry is a religion. Masons are saying, "We're not a religion, we're an organization." Yes, you are. You have a supreme being you worship. You bow down to somebody. You give homage to somebody. You pay your dues and alms to somebody. You are having a religion. And when we get to the root, the G inside the square and the compass that they say is God is not God. We're going to prove to you that that actually stands for Lucifer. Masons are an occult organization that is an ancient religion, and we're going to take it clear back to Nimrod. Now, here's where we come in as Americans. I hope you probably know this, but George Washington was a Mason, along with 13 other presidents. 14 of our 43 presidents, it's a very high number for just being not an important thing. 14 of our 43 presidents and numerous Supreme Court justices were Masons, as was Benjamin Franklin, who published a book about Freemasonry on his own printing press. That's Benjamin Franklin, who we all herald as a wonder man. 9 signers of the Declaration of Independence were Freemasons, including the man with the biggest signature that we herald and laud, and his name, of course, you all know that, is John Hancock, Freemason. And I want to quote to you directly from the oath that a Mason takes when they swear to be a Mason, and here it says this: "I do most solemnly and sincerely promise and swear to have my throat cut across, my tongue torn out by its roots, and my body buried in the rough sands of the sea at low water mark, where the tide ebbs and flows in 24 hours, should I ever knowingly or willingly violate this solemn oath or obligation as an entered apprenticed Mason. So help me God." You think God helped them with that oath? That's from their own literature. Glenn Beck was talking about the Masons, and he said he was able to go right to the main house in Washington, D.C., and go right into the library. You think it's all secret. It's not secret. Their books are there. Albert Pike has, you can order his book, Moral and Dogma, and buy it for yourself. That's the oath that they swear by. It's written in their books, not my story, theirs. And that's what they swear to. You want to talk about a cult? You want to talk about satanic, cutting throats, cutting tongues out? Yeah, I think so. Stephen mentioned Jeremiah 33. Here's why we talk about Jeremiah 33 for us. And I want you to know that it is a linchpin verse for me. Jeremiah 33:3 says this. This is what we swear to. "Call to me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not." Call to me. Not swear to have your throat cut and your tongue cut. Jeremiah 33, God promised to us that if we call to him, he's going to show us great and mighty things that we don't get. I do that every day when I study. This is stuff I don't know, and I call to him and say, "I don't get it." And he goes, Jeremiah 33 says, "I'll help you." Then in 2 Corinthians, Paul does a pretty good job of reminding me of this, about the same thing. 2 Corinthians 11:12. And no wonder, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Paul is warning you in 2 Corinthians 11. He's warning you, you are up against someone who transforms himself. And that word, I have read that verse hundreds of times, literally hundreds of times. And this week I understood a word that I never understood before in that. Paul says, no wonder, because Satan transforms himself. Maybe this won't be the epiphany to you that it was to me, but I get it now. He's lots of things to lots of people. He'll be whatever you want him to be. He's going to transform to be your everything, not everything, but your want. He's going to transform in front of you to be a hero or a writer or a musician or a knowledge giver. He's going to transform himself to these masons because they want to belong. He's going to be their everything. And Paul saw it. He says in 2 Corinthians, no wonder, because Satan transforms, means he changes. I love the dichotomy between God and Satan because Jesus says, I am God, I do not change. And Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians that Lucifer is transforming himself daily, hourly, to what you want to be. He's a changer. I hated, and I'm going to be political here, so if this is a part of tape you don't want to hear, block it out. Those of you sitting, I guess you have to just close your ears. When Barack Obama brought up hope and change, I hated it. Because this reminded me of Satan himself when he said, Paul said, it is no wonder because Lucifer transforms. That word in Greek means change. He changes himself to be whatever you want him to be. Jesus says, I change not. So beware of those really easy words that you say, oh, that's cute. He's saying hope and change. No, no, no. Jesus says, I am God. I change not. Look at the opposite. Maybe that epiphany never came to you before, but it really came home to me this week because this whole study that we're doing is about an organization who says they're one thing and they're not. They are a changer. They are under the surface, evil to the core. And every symbol they have, every word, every theory they do, and they founded our country, and don't be deceived. It's all over. You walk into a courthouse, there's a Masonic sign. You walk into many of these big old red brick churches, there's Masonic symbols on them. You walk along a street and you'll see something in there, it's a Masonic symbol. It is all over America. They've stamped us as theirs. We weren't bought and paid for by Christian principles. Oh, sure, there were some. Of course, the Pilgrims, we know that, and the Mayflower Convent, I get that. But I'm going to tell you, we haven't been told the whole truth. You need to understand who these Masons are and that they are our country. This is how we pray. So what is the secret of secret societies from ages? And we talked about Jeremiah 33. I asked God to show me the secret. He said he would, so we're going to enter that now. Let's turn to Genesis 3:5. We always tend to go back to Genesis. But you know what God's told me in that? Go back to the beginning. I have so much truth in the beginning. If you don't know where you're going, go back and restart. So I'm in Genesis, and I'm in the 3rd chapter, and I'm in the 5th verse. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. I want to remind you what this conversation is about. This is the serpent speaking to Eve. And Eve said, we can't eat of that fruit because God told us not to. And here's what he says to her. He's a liar and he's a deceiver. And this is Lucifer. And this is his words. For God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Liar! Can we all say liar, liar? Liar. Liar. He started out as a liar. He's going to end up as a liar, and he's using all this deception. I really believe we're living in a world where we are surface walkers. We are surfacing the news. We are surfacing the humanity that's happening around us. And we aren't understanding anything that's going on with us. The Bible wants you to dig deeper. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. This is going to be a key for what the Masons teach, but Paul says it right. I'm in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, the 16th verse, and it says this. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And I'm going to continue on in 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Now, unpass that and think this. Masons talk about rebuilding the temple, which is, according to Paul, what is the temple? It is the human body. One of the oaths the Masons take is to rebuild the temple. Let me let that soak in for you a little bit. If their goal is to rebuild the temple, and your body is the temple, let's spell it out. They want to remake your body. They want to change your DNA. They want to rebuild humanity. Talk about singularity. Talk about transhumanism. This is not a new story. This is Genesis 6. This is the fallen angels coming down and wanting to change humanity. The author of the fallen angels in Genesis 6 was Lucifer. Corrupt humanity. Paul says your body is the temple. Mason's oath is to rebuild the temple. I know this is tough. I know what I'm saying sounds unreasonable. But I'm taking you direct quotes from the Bible and direct quotes from Mason's own documents. I've read them over and over. They're out there for you to see. They're not hidden. The secret of the Masons is this. Let's just get it down to a couple of sentences and I'm going to prove it. They want to rebuild the human body. And they're in it with Lucifer at the end to raise up a perfect DNA race that has the mark of the beast, which is a DNA change, and they're going to be at the heart of it. Now, if I can't say that any plainer, I don't know how else to talk. Let's do some proving of that. I've proved to you in Corinthians that what Jesus said your body is, his own, not my words, his. He says your body is the temple. Good enough for me. God warns his people against corrupt occultic practices. He did it from the beginning. I'm in Deuteronomy 18:9. This goes back to our giant study. Everything we do just interweaves and puzzles back together. It's like a web. And I want you to remember when Joshua and Moses and Caleb and David were fighting the giant tribes, even Abraham, were fighting the giant tribes. We spent 2 weeks studying that. God warned him and warned him and warned him who they were going up against. I'm in Deuteronomy 18:9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord hath given thee, thou shalt not learn. That's pretty plain. To do after the abominations of those nations. In other words, God's saying, don't do what they're doing. Let's see why. There shall not be found among you or anyone that maketh his son or daughter pass through the fire. That's worshiping Moloch. That's that Minotaur god I showed you about, that they'd put their babies on his arms and light him up, and those babies would fry in his arms. God says, don't do that. You're going to go into these nations and where these creepy giant Nephilim people are, and they're burning their babies. He says, don't do that. And he also says, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Those are people that talk to the dead. Necromancers talking to dead spirits. The Bible says, don't do that. God warned it, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Already God's warning them. These are what you're going to see in these Nephilim people. I'm going to show you this is what you're going to see in the Masonic Lodge. We're going to pull up a full circle. 2 Kings 21:6 says this, "And he made his son pass through the fire and observed times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger." God said, don't do that. Don't do wizards. Don't do magic. Don't look to the stars. This is what these tribes, these giant Nephilim tribes, don't do it, he says. 2 Kings 21:6, "And he made his son pass through the fire and observed times." Have you ever looked at your horoscope? God says, don't do that. Don't observe those times. Don't use those to tell the future. That's what he means. And use enchantments. Don't pray with someone that is using magic and chantings. He's saying, don't do that. And dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. I can't stand to turn on a Disney movie and there be a wizard and Mickey Mouse comes out with his wizard hat on. My goodness. Is that plain enough in your face? How many times you see little Mickey Mouse running with this purple robe and this wizard's hat? God said, don't do it. This is from the giants and the Nephilim. We're going to see the grand wizard of masonry appear. Don't do it, God said. Don't do it. Leviticus 19:31, "Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." That other bunch is serving Lucifer. Isaiah 8:19, "And when they shall say to you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, that mutter, should not a people seek unto their own God, for the living to the dead?" God says, don't do it. Anytime you see wizards in a movie, you should turn it off and walk out. Not my words. God said, don't do it. 2 Kings 17:17. "And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and used divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger." God is mad about this. America has been deceived by these lies and this deceit, and one of the greatest deceits we've ever had is masonry. If I act mad, do you know how mad I am? My mom and dad were in masonry and in the Eastern Star when I was a little girl, and they memorized, and I used to sit on my dad's side and say, what's that G mean? He says, well, that means God. And I want to tell you the lie of the Masons is this, until you get up to about the 15th, 20th division, it's all good. You're doing, you're reading scripture and you're learning that God is good and you're memorizing about Hiram Abiff, who was the story from Solomon's temple. It's all really sugar-coated. But you get to number 32, which my dad did. Remember, he had to go to Wichita. We were a dairy farm. And so he had to hire people to come do his dairy farm for 3 days. It was a big deal. He had studied. He came home, and I will remember to this to the day I die, he sat down with my mom, and she goes, well, how'd it go? And he goes, well, I passed. Wasn't excited at all. About 2 or 3 weeks later, Charlie, my brother, and I went to Bible school and got saved. We came home from our neighbor bringing us home from Bible school and sat at the same kitchen table, and I shared to my parents, and I asked Jesus in my heart, and the look that came upon his face would look like I struck him. I thought, oh my goodness, my five-year-old body thought, I'm in big trouble. And I realized now it wasn't that. And the looks that played across between my mom and dad were like, God opened their eyes. And the process that happened for them was that they began writing letters. I remember they wrote to the state, the local chapter, the state chapter. I remember this as well as I can, and I wish he was here to tell you his story. And they wrote to the National, and my mother wrote the Eastern Star, and they renounced what they'd done. My dad had studied 6 years to get where he was in that. Renounced everything they had done and asked that their name be blotted out from that. And according to what I read in Albert Pike, he should have had his tongue cut out and his heart pierced. But because Jesus came into our lives and they had a light experience where light shone on the darkness, they realized what was happening and renounced it. So do you think I know what I'm talking about? I lived it firsthand. And I saw the change in their lives after that. My brother and sister that were older, 10 years older than me, were not raised in a Christian home. They were raised in a Masonic home. And their lives never were right. And Charlie and I got to be raised in a Christian home where a dad studied just like you guys do. Got so hungry for God's word that he changed. I tell you all this to say this. This stuff's real. What the Masonic Lodge does is it entraps you to a deceit that is so beautiful. And you have a fellowship of men that is so wonderful. That how could that be wrong? By the way, if you're a Shriner, you have hospitals for children. Who would say that was wrong? Well, I go back to this. Jesus said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. You don't need anyone else. Let's continue on. That's my soapbox. Sorry for that. Deuteronomy 18:10. There shall not be found among any of you who maketh his son or daughter pass through the fire or useth divination or observer of times or enchanter or a witch. I could quote you 500 verses in this Bible that says you are not to be a witch, to have anything to do with a witch, and witches are to be killed. Period. If you're watching a Disney movie and doggone every time there's a witch or a wizard comes on, it ought to go to your fireplace. We're going to do one lesson. That's going to be predominantly about Disney. And I'm going to take you back to his roots. And I'm going to tell you it's just like this. He's a Mason. Surprise, surprise. Who's surprised by that? He had an agenda to warp American children. Surprise, surprise. Does that sound like Lucifer to you? I think so. Acts 19:19. Now we're going back to Paul. I'm not just Old Testament. Many of them also, which use curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. What Paul is recounting here is when people get saved, they get these books of incantations and these sorcery documents are evil. And then they bring them and they burn them. Very much like my dad and mom sat down and wrote those letters that said, we renounce this. They're burning that out of their existence. Paul said that's what you have to do. You have to be purged from that. Deuteronomy 18:9-12. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of these nations. Here he's saying it again and again and again. You will not do that. It will drag you down. I wish America would have read Leviticus. I wish Benjamin Franklin believed in Leviticus rather than Albert Pike. I wish George Washington, when he prayed, I used to tell my fifth graders about the Battle of Valley Forge and how George Washington got off his horse and prayed, and he did. He did do that. I didn't get it. He wasn't praying to my God. He was praying to his Masonic God. And when you get to the 33rd degree, you get to learn his name. And it starts the big L. Lucifer! Our president, our first president that I used to emulate and tell my fifth graders about, wasn't praying to my God. He was asking help to the creator of the universe as he believed it to be. Lucifer, he's a Mason. When you go to a Masonic funeral and you watch him do the apron, I'm going to tell you all that meaning here in a minute. I know I'm rambling. I'm sorry. I am just so overwhelmed by the lies we're surrounded by that if I do anything for you tonight, I want you to search on your own. Don't believe anything I say. But I'm going to tell you, every book that I searched on this is readily out there. You don't have to buy them. They're on the internet. Albert Pike is so evil, and yet he's so out there in your face. The trouble with Masons is they believe what the people tell them. They don't read the book. Had we read Barack Obama's book that he'd written before he was president, we know exactly what he believed. He had an eye out there. The devil really is not doing anything secret. Yeah, he's a deceiver. But he's got it right out there, right in plain sight. And this masonry stuff, it's just, pull the book up and read it. His name is Albert Pike, and he's right out, he just makes it very obvious. Revelation 22:15. And this is John warning what he saw. He said, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whoever loveth and maketh a lie. And by the way, I'm going to prove to you that the heart of Masonry is sex. Every symbol is sexual. Every innuendo is sexual. And it goes back to what did the fallen angels come down in Genesis 6 to impregnate human women to change the DNA. But you want to know the secret of masonry? I'm going to tell you again. It's to change human DNA. The two pillars you see on everything Masonic, which are really Jachin and Boaz, the pillars of Solomon's Temple, and we're going to look that up. If they're drawn correctly according to the ancient texts, they are the two pillars of DNA. Each has 23 rungs going up. 23 and 23 make 46. There are 46 chromosomes in the human body. 23 on each side. Satan's putting it right out there for you to see. The goal of the Masons in the highest planes is to change the human DNA. That's what the columns mean. You're looking at human DNA they want to change. It's not that they're trying to keep it secret from you. It's that we're too stupid to look past what we think is a good thing. Romans 1:25 says this. This is if you don't know what's pagan and you don't know what's not to be done. Paul is right out there. So he says it in Romans 1:25. The book of Romans says this. A pagan is someone, and I'm going to label Freemasons as pagans, and here's why. This is what Paul said. A pagan is someone who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator. Amen. This is what Paul says. Let's say it again. Who changed the truth of God for a lie. The Masons use a Bible in their organization. If you walk into a Masonic temple, I used to go when my dad was going, there's a big podium. And there's a Bible right on front. It's got this big G right on it. And what they do when they invite you in, they say, you worship the God that you worship. If you're a Christian, you can worship your God. If you're a Jewish, you worship your God. If you're a Confucius, worship him. If you're a Buddhist, him. If you're a Muslim, him. And by the time you get to be Shriners, you better be worshiping Allah because you wear the pez. And if you understand what the pez is, and the sickle and the moon, it's Islam. The high Shriners have converted to the God Allah, who is really the moon god, who is really Lucifer, and it all comes full circle. You ever wonder why Shriners wear those little pezzes? They sure don't look like anything that an early American president wore. Think about it. Have you walked into a Shriners temple and seen the symbolisms? Look around, guys. We've been stonewalled and not told the truth about this. They worship a form of the god Baphomet. He's not one that we've talked about a lot, although we have. Baphomet, and this is very important to the Freemasons, is a god who embodies both male and female in one. They're very into sexual things. So their god has both male and female. He is also represents alchemy, which is like gold and silver and all kinds of minerals. And they get into that transgender thing. I believe that they are very careful not to exclude homosexuals, but that wouldn't be their first thrust. They're more interested in the heterosexual of humanity. But as an occultist, a famous writer named Benjamin Cream, C-R-E-M-E, said something interesting in one of his books. And like I said, all this is out there published. I'm quoting him directly. In Freemasonry is embedded the core of the secret heart of the occult mysteries, wrapped up in number, metaphor, and symbol. One of their major writers says, the Masons are an occult mystery. It's time now to talk a little bit about their symbols. I could spend 6 weeks on this. I'm not going to. You go, yay! And I don't want to be pornographic here, and I don't want to be tasteless, but I'm going to be as honest as I can, because one of the things you know about me is I have black and white. This is a symbol you see everywhere. They tell you it's the compass and the square, because, of course, they're Masons, they're builders, and the G inside is God. Well, in truth, that's not true. This is the male organ, this is the female, and the birth that occurs is a god, little g should be, who is Lucifer. That's what that really means. How do I know that? Read Albert Pike. It sounds better to say it's a square and compass and we're builders. Lies. Lies. All lies. The letter G figures prominently in Freemasonry everywhere. In fact, in lower degrees, the initiate is told that this stands for God, and sometimes you're told it stands for geometry, because those two symbols look like geometric symbols, which is supreme architect of the universe used to design his wonder creation. They use the word God seldom, and they often say the supreme architect of the universe. That's going to be a key term, remember that. But in the occultist Arthur Waite's book, he quotes Eliphas Levi, a 33rd degree Mason. Now, this is going to be a direct quote. This is from a 33rd highest degree Mason. He tells us that the letter G stands for Venus, and that the Venus symbol is actually a phallus, a man's sex organ, and that the sex act is portrayed in this symbol. You're going to find that Mason symbols almost all have something to do with sex. Why do I think that is? It goes back to, we're going to recreate the human race. We are going to take the genome of the human being and we're going to transform it into a higher level, just like the Genesis 6 experiment by the fallen angels. It is about changing the human being. The greatest Masonic author of all time, Albert Pike, which I've already talked to you about, agrees to that same point. He says this in page 631 of his Morals and Dogma book. He states this directly, that the monad, and that is the compass, is the male. And the duad, that's the square, is a female. Their sexual union produces the triad, which is presented by the letter G. The generative principle. Did you hear that? Generative. To generate a new being. The baby that this creates, if you will, is going to be a new human. Lies. Just like the lies of the fallen angels that came to earth. We're going to create new humans. They became so bad, God sent the flood and destroyed them. It's lies. But it's not new lies. Satan started this lie in Genesis when he got kicked out and he told Eve that she would not die. And what happened was the battle began from Genesis 3 on. This is the battle that Satan doesn't have anything new. He wants to recreate the human beings again. You're going to find it all over Freemasonry. Anybody have any questions about that symbol? That's one you're going to see everywhere. Now that I understand what it means, it makes me sick when I look at it. I can't stand it. It's on every building that has any kind of national importance. It's on many of your churches, guys. It makes me sick. We've been lied to. We've just been lied to. The columns. You're going to see columns. This is a hugely important symbol for the Masons. There's always two columns, and they say they're from the Temple of Solomon, and actually Solomon. Let's talk a little bit about Solomon, so you understand when they use him as an example. What it does for me is it makes me cringe. Solomon had everything given to him that he needed. It was David's son. He was appointed to be the high king. He was appointed to build the temple. And he got so influenced by foreign women who were of giant Nephilim tribes. We talked about that. That he began dabbling in things which God said you ought not do. And because of that, he became corrupted. He even let them put up symbols of Moloch. I mean, he really went a long way. So when supposedly in the story of the Solomon's Temple, according to the Masons, he hired a master builder named Hiram Abiff to overtake this building of the temple. Now, Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. That's where they go back. But they're going back to, and they're going to use Solomon all the time, and they're going to say he's their reference. Actually, it's Solomon's wives that they're using, because Solomon became influenced by these wives, and because of that bad influence of those awful, God said in Leviticus, do not do this. Do not take those wizards. Do not do that necromancy. Do not do that when you go into the land. And Solomon did that. And so what the Masons have taken is they've gleaned from Solomon those influences that they were not to do, and they've based masonry on that. And that's the temple columns that we see. So let's talk a little bit about those columns. Going to be at the front of every building. We're actually going to see them intertwined later into a ladder, and we're going to prove that that's going to be a signature of the 46 chromosomes in the DNA. And you're going to see, if you go into any Masonic temple, they will have two columns somewhere. So we're going to look at those, and then later when you see the ladder joined together, this is their symbol for 23 chromosomes of the male, 23 chromosomes of the female. And then I don't know if you can see this picture well enough, but you see the all-seeing eye you're going to see up here. You're going to see the sun, moon, and stars. And I might just pass that around so you could... When you start looking, after I printed this off, I realized that underneath this all-seeing eye, the word Lucifer is there. I mean, it's right up front for you to see. So you're going to see the columns. The ladder in Freemasonry kind of stems from that, and I want you to turn to Genesis 28:10. The ladder is a symbol that seems to be an esoteric context, and it was used a lot in ancient times. And until you unravel that, that's actually a picture of DNA. Hearing about the ladder symbol doesn't make any sense. We didn't know much about DNA until about the 1950s. God knew it from the beginning. And so there's hints all through the Bible about this, and Satan evidently did too, because he sought to corrupt the human DNA. But I'm in Genesis 28, and I'm in verse 10. Do you notice how we keep going back to Genesis? I said you always go back to the heart of it. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set, and he took one of the stones of the place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to the heaven, and there were angels of God were ascending and descending on it. The ladder becomes very important. It becomes a very important symbol to ancient Jews, because they remember when Jacob saw the ladder and the angels going up and forth, it's really God saying, if you want to take it to the real root of that, that ladder, that DNA of your body, that innermost part of you that reaches up to me, is to be kept pure. And say that. So you're going to see the ladder symbol, and you're going to see the columns throughout a lot of the Masonic symbols. They are they're hidden secrets that really are right out in your face. And so I want you to understand that the ladder is a DNA symbol. The number 33 we talked about is pretty important also. You're going to see that in Masonry. The documents that I searched out in Masonry authors was this. It's a celebratory number because Jesus died. Don't discount the fact that they do not believe Jesus was the Son of God. They think he was a prophet. In their writings, the highest place they give Jesus is as a prophet. Then they make him a liar. He said, I'm not a prophet. I'm the Son of God. But he is not the Son of God to them. He is not a God. He is a prophet. And they celebrate that he was killed. They never get it that he was resurrected. So the 33 is a huge celebratory number for them. And you're going to see it. When you see it used in Masonry, it is used in a celebratory manner. Okay? So that's one of their symbols, is the number 33. Both Freemasonry and the Eastern Star utilize the broken column. So if you see the column, sometimes you'll see one of those columns broken. And that contains many levels of meanings. For instance, the initiate is told that the broken column signifies an early death, could be. Later on, the Mason learns that columns represent gods, plural. Notice I said gods, and they do too, so that ought to be a flag. Then you're going to notice that Masons also learned a different hidden meaning from a broken column back from Egyptian ancient texts. They refer to Osiris, Horus, and Semiramis. And they go back to that the column is actually a male phallus. That goes back to the sex talk that we always say is going to be in this, and I'm sorry to have to tell you that, but that's in their writings. When they're weeping over that broken column, and the Masons do that in one of their things, they're weeping over the fact that when Osiris was killed, he was dismembered, all parts of his body were cut. And you can imagine which one that was, and all of him, and that's what the broken column is. So see how sick all this gets. That was from the Symbolism of Freemasonry by Mackey. I'm not making this up. This is documented in their books, in their own libraries. Now, you may have seen this symbol before. It's called a point within a circle. Masons, one of their favorite symbols. The point and the circle carries another sexual connotation. Surprise, surprise. How can that be? Does that look like anything to you? Didn't to me, but then I don't think like that. I'm not trying to hide anything from you. If you have to ask a question, you do not have the mind of the heart of the pagan religion that supports this. One Masonic author states that this symbol is used in sun worship and says, the female principle symbolized by the moon assume the form of the lunette, the small circular opening or crescent, while the male principle symbolized by the sun assume the form of the lingam and place himself in the center of the lunette, which is like the mast of the ship. This is supposedly the sun and the moon being worshipped and the sex act. And this is one of the very most famous symbols you're going to see in Masonry. Why do we keep talking about the sex act? I know this is horrific. It's because they want to change human beings. Let's go back to fallen angels having children with women. It changes humanity. It changes DNA. What's the secret I told you about in Masons? Changing humanity. It's in this symbol. You see this? How about this symbol? Everywhere in America you see it? How about the Washington Monument? Masonic from the core. Designed by a Mason in France and stands to this day as one of our highest, most celebrated monasteries. It is a male sex organ. It's a phallus. Masons. Masons. I'm sorry. This is a lesson that I think it's inappropriate to talk about this stuff. But because it is discomforting to talk about this, and because it is not anything that anyone would choose to do, pastors don't talk about it, churches don't talk about it, and we have been deceived. And so when I visited the Washington Monument, when we took our children to Washington, I had no idea. I mean, you do look at that and think, is that a pyramid? I mean, you're kind of, in your mind, thinking, what does this have to do with Liberty Inn? At least Lady Liberty, who's really Semiramis, it sort of looks like a woman. This sort of, okay, moving right along. I'm just telling you, it's in your face, and I wish I didn't have to tell you all this, but you need to open your eyes, guys, because this is the life that's surrounding us. When Satan wants to depict the female sexual organ, he usually uses a circle. That's why when you saw the circle, that's a female, and you see the obelisk, that's the male. Now consider the obelisk, the Washington Monument, probably is the most famous of all obelisks in all the world. Satanists believe that the spirit of the Egyptian sun god Ra resides in that obelisk. Isn't that great to know that in that obelisk in Washington resides an ancient sun god? Aren't you just thrilled about that? That's our country, guys. Do you wonder why we are in such a mess? These are people that founded us. Have you been lied to and said we were founded by Christians? I don't know any godly Christian man that would make a phallus monument and put it in the Capitol. Where have we been that we've just believed this garbage? The obelisk is the most recognized of all the phallic symbols. When the obelisk is depicted within a circle, like it sits in a base of a circle, The Satanists are depicting the sex act between the male and the female. And in Washington, D.C., the Washington Monument is sitting within a circle. Think about that. Does it make you want to go, eh? Freemasonry planned, designed, and created the Washington Monument, and the obelisk is greatly revered in Masonry. As a quick tour of any cemetery in New England will tell you, they're everywhere in every cemetery. Now listen to this. You can immediately tell where the graves of Masons are because they have obelisks on their headstones. Just saying. Now, I want you to, and I don't know if you'll be able to see this. I wasn't able to get this picture very big, but I think you're going to know, and this doesn't make you go, ooh and aw, then you're ahead of me and you already knew it. Tristan was the one that told me about this one. I'm going to point to this picture up here, and I know it's kind of hard to see. And I will send that around so you can see it. Mm-hmm. Listen to this. If you've ever visited the Vatican, we have. Maybe you've seen it on TV. You are looking, when you look at that Vatican, you are looking at the most famous of the great public depictions of the sex act in the world. The obelisk sitting in a satanic eightfold path of the Enlightenment Circle is in St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, the Vatican. It is amazing to me. By the way, the Masons designed this. Are you surprised? Probably not. Most people are amazed when they go to this structure and see it, but Satan is laughing out loud. When you think about it, it's the most famous satanic depiction of the sex act right at the Vatican, and we all ooh, aw, and oogle as if we're impressed. It's because we're stupid. You should immediately recognize the reason this situation exists is because right under the glitter of all the Christian names and words, Satan is right there as pervasive in history as he wants to be. You can see the satanic influence by the popes and by the pontiffs as they walk through in their regal gowns. If you have a question about seeing that, pull it up on your website. But you'll see the phallus and you'll see the circle. Again, Masonic designed. The most famous one in all the world. In your face. Now, there's also, you're going to see the same kind of thing. The Masons use the triangle and the circle. Again, it's that same principle. The yin and the yang are the same principle. And you're going to see that in the six-pointed star, it is very much, think back to the symbol that I showed you of this. It is the same principle. Male over female, same principle, same principle. By the way, that Star of David was not designed by God. It's not in the Bible. I don't see it anywhere. I told you before, the Bethlehem Star is probably an angel. These are the same thing. Male over female. Anyone starting to go, ooh, ooh, yin and yang. If you wear that symbol, please don't. That's a sex act. Masonic symbol. That yin and yang is the most commonly used symbols today and includes the logos of many organizations and companies. You'll see it everywhere, guys. The yin and yang are considered to be opposites. The yin represents eternity, dark, feminine, the left side of the body. Yang is the opposite, represents history, light, masculine, the right side of the body. And that is a direct quote from Philip Zimbardo. Yang is the male, positive, and represented by the sun god. Yin is the female, negative, represented by the moon god. By the way, sun and moon and stars, we're talking Muslim. The symbol itself dates back to the 4th century BC. This is not new. Satan is not new. He has nothing new, guys. He just recycled it and you believed it. And you pointing thumb back at self too. You meaning the universal you. In the Western world, has long been adopted as myth, magic, astrology, and witchcraft. And go back to God telling the Israelites, don't be involved in witchcraft, don't be involved in magic, don't be involved in voodoo, don't be involved in macronancy, don't be involved in any of that stuff. He said, don't do it. When you go into the land where Solomon got duped, and you go into the land where those giants are dwelling, don't have kids with them. Don't let your children have kids with them. Did they listen? No. And this is the garbage that 2,000, 3,000 years later we're dealing with in front of our faces. And we're calling it the Freemasons and the secret societies and good for all. The yin and the yang. I hear that on TV all the time. Oh, it's just the yin and the yang. Well, you know what you're really saying there. Now you know. Don't be saying that. That's a deceitful saying of the devil. Another magical sign that appeared, that yin and yang, also appeared about the 3rd century in China. So they actually do use that symbol too. If you've ever gone to a Masonic funeral and you've seen the Masonic apron, I want you to take a really good look at what that Masonic apron has on it. Has the all-seeing eye, which we all know is the eye of Lucifer. It has this symbol, which we now know is the sex act to make humans transhumans. And here are the two columns, which represent your DNA, which they're trying to change with the mark of the beast. Do you want to see a... Would you like to wear one of these aprons with all these symbols on it? No. Me either. Have you just... I mean, look at that. What I want to say is to myself, stupid, where have I been that I've gone to these? I've probably seen people wear these. I had no idea what that was saying. And yet it's right here in your face. That's one of the... When Masons do anything public, they wear their aprons. Notice what they have on them. There is a symbol that I think you're probably not going to be surprised about, because I did tell you, oh, what was it, 2 weeks ago, that really the Lady Liberty is not Lady Liberty. She's really Semiramis. But you do know that her torch is a symbol for the Masons of a male phallus. You do know that by now. And she was given by France and developed by a famous French Mason, a famous artist who was in a 32nd degree Mason.
What's up with all these French people?
Mm-hmm. Masons. Masonic author Manly P. Hall, and if you don't know about him, he's another really, really famous Masonic author. He's, by the way, a 33rd degree Mason, which is size against, states that the torch represents occult arts and sciences, the doctrines and dogmas by the light of the truth is made visible. Be careful of that light. Remember what Paul said. And why do you wonder? Because even Lucifer masquerades as the angel of light. So the male phallus torch, Masons, one of their symbols. I could go into their gavel has a meaning very similar, but I just want you to be enough aware of their symbols that you will be aware that what they've done is they've taken what's in your face out there. Like seeing a human eye drawn is not a bad thing. If you're an ophthalmologist or something, of course you could sketch a human eye, but when you see it as the all-seeing eye, then you should put up a red flag. Just like when you see a circle drawn, that's not a bad thing. But when they put the point in between it, or they do start adding triangles to it, then you should get a heads up and say, okay, God, what are they showing me? And then you go back and you begin not only reading the Bible, but I believe you read historical books about this. The Bible warned us and warned them in Deuteronomy. How many times did he warn them? Don't do that. Don't get involved with that. Stay away from the sun, moon, and stars worship. Don't do that wizardry thing. He tells them over and over. And by the way, the Grand Wizard is a title that Masons give their high-up guys. What did God say about wizards? He said, don't do that. Now, if I haven't convinced you not to be a Mason by now, then I've done a really poor job with this lesson. But I want to tell you that the object of the secret societies since you have the piece of Genesis 6, we do. We've spent a lot of time knowing that piece. We know that Jesus warned according to Matthew in 24, and this is all review for you, and so I beg my pardon if I have to go back, but Matthew 24, Jesus tells his disciples right before he's killed, this is like the night before he goes to Gethsemane, he says, and they ask him, how will we know when you're coming back again? Because they're starting to get worried. He's telling them, I'm going to die. And they say, how will we know? And he says, you will know because it's as in the days of Noah. Matthew 24 tells us, Matthew, the tax collector, the tariff writer, the person who took shorthand, took infinitely wonderful notes, nitpicking. And he says, Jesus said this, it'll be as in the days of Noah. So then we went back and studied that days of Noah and how that looked. And that looked where the DNA was mixed. The fallen angels came down and they mixed with humans and they corrupted the genome pool of humanity so that it was not redeemable. God destroyed the earth because of it. What is the goal of Lucifer? It's the same now as it was then. To destroy human beings who are made in the image of who? God. Why does he want to destroy us? We look like God. Now, don't go home and someone say, Linda thinks she looks like God. Well, I guess I do. God said remain in his image, and Satan hates us. We were talking before supper about a sad thing in our community, and I said, the devil's a destroyer. He wants to kill you. He roars around seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to kill you. He hates you. You look like God. And so from the beginning of Genesis till the ending of Revelation, we see this humongous struggle. And he's going to bring in all the niceties he can to bring down. He's not going to walk up to somebody and say, I want you to change your DNA and go to hell. He's not going to do that. He's going to bring in the Masons who build hospitals for sick children and run around in little cars at parades and wear little hats. They're just cute. Sure, they've got a sickle and a sun, moon, and stars on it, but they're sure cute. And they do a lot of good for children. And even though they swear to Allah and Lucifer, they're still good men. They meet every weekend. They take care of the community. And just because Washington, D.C. is such a wonderful place to visit, you'll never notice that there's a male sex organ standing up as an erect monument to the sun, moon, and stars in our capital. Oh, that can't be what that means. Let's don't talk about that. Let's don't talk when we see the yin and the yang. We're really saying, let's have sex with an alien or a non-human and create a new human being. Let's don't talk about that. Let's don't talk about when we see the two columns of the Masons rising up. There's 23 steps on each side, and you put them together, there's 46 chromosomes. Let's not talk about changing our DNA. But if you don't talk about it, and if you don't research it, you will be deceived. You will be. And America has been deceived since day one. George Washington has the most unusually sickening painting on the ceiling in the rotunda. And it's him setting up like a god and pagan things happening below him. Satan is not trying to keep this a secret from you. Satan is saying, America's mine. I set it up for myself. I set it up to destroy mankind, just like I did in Genesis 6. And I'm doing a real good job of it. And you're buying into it. You're being Masons, and you're supporting the Masons, and you're giving to the Shriners, and you're going to the parades, and you're waving, and you're walking in buildings with those symbols, and you are being duped by the king of all dupers, and his name is Lucifer, and he is out to kill you. Why do we care about Masons? Let's bring it back full circle. The ultimate object of secret societies, even back into the days of Hermes, whom many know as the father of the occult, has been to take a new recruit with a belief in a personal God and to ultimately, over time, change that recruit's belief to believe that there is no God and that the recruit is actually his own God. Heard that story before? I think so. Just like Satan thinking before his fall that he was just like God, Usually it's preferable and easier if that new recruit has a belief in God, because in Masonry can twist that belief to say any God will work, even if you worship a cow or a monkey. It's your God. You get to choose. The secret society process is that the recruit indoctrinates himself with the secret society's spiritual and mystical teachings, and that he in turn indoctrinates somebody else, and he in turn indoctrinates somebody else, and before long, you have a whole community of monkey cow worshipers, or even worse, Lucifer worshipers. By the way, Hermes was one of the earliest intellectuals to believe that he was his own authority, and that is that the old belief that he was God. And many of our founders, like Benjamin Franklin, was a deist and believed the same thing. He did believe in one God, but he rejected religion, saying, "My own mind is my own church. Basically, I am my own God." Do you love Benjamin Franklin? Haven't we been lied to about our history? He also maintained an interest in Freemasonry. His pamphlet, entitled The Origin of Freemasonry, which he published on his own printing press, proposed that Masonry's embodiment of the sun worship of ancient Druidism was a legitimate alternative to Christianity. This is Benjamin Franklin. Why don't you worship the sun, S-U-N, instead of the S-O-N? That's Benjamin Franklin's belief. In fact, he notes that the Freemasons' God, also known as Osiris, we know him as another name of Nimrod. Let's take it back to what we've been studying. Benjamin Franklin said that Nimrod Osiris actually represented the supreme being and was a universal nature. Paine, you might remember, who was an early pamphlet writer in the colonies, wrote in his famous The Age of Reason this: "I do not believe in the creed professed by the Jewish church, by the Roman church, by the Greek church, by the Protestant church, nor by any church that I know of. My own mind is my church." He believed like Karl Marx, Lenin, and Trotsky, and they were all Freemasons. Lenin, Karl Marx, Masons. Who do they worship? What do they believe? The lie is this. This is the lie. Salvation by faith and vicarious atonement has not to be interpreted as truth. Jesus did not atone or deliver us. Those that believe that are ignorant, and it's a perversion of original doctrines. That's the lie that Masons teach. The truth is this, and here's your promise. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's the truth. And the truth is from John 6:47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." And even Paul, our steady Eddie Paul, Ephesians 2 says this: "For by grace ye are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, not of works, nothing you do. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Working your way up the ladder of the Masonry, whatever it's called, accomplishments, bravado, falsehoods, whatever that's called, that you work your way up through, it's a lie. Jesus said, "I am the truth, the way, I'm the way, truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but me." At the heart of Masonry is Lucifer. The 33rd degree finally reveals who their God is. High-level Masons believe that Lucifer never fell to earth and that Lucifer really is God. They refer to Yahweh by the name of Adonai, And they say that Yahweh is really the God of evil. Now, you want to know how perverse this is? Because he forces men to be subservient to his repressive dictates. Masonic books give a handpicked few members in the 32nd and 33rd degrees, and they say to them that Jesus was an imposter and that Lucifer is the true God, and you don't find this out to the 32nd degree. When my dad came home, and he sat at that table and he said, I'm done. There's no truth in it. Manly Palmer Hall, a great authority on Masonry, writes, when the Mason has learned the real mystery of his craft, the seething energies of Lucifer are in his hands. Think about that. In his most famous book, Morals and Dogma, Albert Pike said this, Masonry is identical to ancient mystery religions. Recall in Revelation, when Babylon the Great has fallen, the great mystery, that horror of religions, and she is destroyed, and we're going to see the Masons embodied in that. The highest degree of the Scottish Rite of Masonry, the Mentorius degree, the degree of Illuminati, whose motto is Ordo ab Chaos, or out of chaos comes order. This literally means if Masons break down the existing structure and cause the population to cry out for order, they will emerge as the rulers and will have the world that they seek. If you understood what that says, they intend to put the world in chaos so that they can control us and take order. This is who founded America. This is who God warned about when he gave the promised land to the Israelites, and he said, don't do it. Don't go do their wizardry. Don't worship the sun, moon, and stars. Don't call up dead people. Don't do chants. Don't do incantations. And by all means, don't worship any other god. And this is all you see in Freemasonry. What this lesson does for me is several things. I was never going to be a Mason. After I knew from my own personal history about my parents, I was never going to be a Mason. I was never going to be an Eastern Star person. What I do know this, I opened my eyes wider than I ever did. I look around a little deeper than I had before. And I'm not going to believe anything at face value until I've gone to the only source that I know, and that's God's Word, and I'm going to search it out. And I know this, that bringing it back full circle, my body is the temple of God. I'm not going to walk into any Masonic temple. I'm not going to look at their stinking symbols and worship their high king called Lucifer. But you have people that are going to do that. You have people right now that you know that are probably Masons. We know for a fact that at least a third of our legislators are. At least that. There was an incident recorded, and they're a very tight-knit group. A young lawyer came walking into a courtroom where his client was not doing well and was not expected to win the case. And when the judge saw the Masonic ring on the young lawyer's hand who stood beside the guilty guy, they did a ceremonial head shake, and later they exchanged a handshake, and that case was dismissed to the surprise of everybody in the court. That's happening. It's happening in our legislature. It's happening in state governments. It's happening everywhere. Why do we care? God said, come out from among them. You're not of this earth. God told the Israelites, don't do this. Don't get involved in witchcraft. Don't set your people up for failure. And for you and us, we are the last best hope of this world before he comes back again. Now, here's the real promise. I'm looking east. I'm listening for the shout, the trumpet, and the voice. And I'm out of here. But until then, I'm going to work my patootie off to try to get people to know my Jesus. And if they're involved in Masonry, I'm going to take your Mason's Bible that you have up there. It's a real Bible. Take it and let's look at John 3:16. Let's look at Romans 8:28. Let's look at 1 John 2:9. Let's talk about Jesus. And let's get him saved. Does anybody have any questions about anything I said that doesn't make sense? I know there's six more weeks here that I could have covered. The symbols are everywhere. Why did we cover this? This is going to be, it's in my opinion, and it is simply an opinion from study, I think the Masons are going to be one of the setup groups to help people take the mark of the beast. I think they are. I think they've already figured out that the DNA has to be changed. I mean, every symbol that you see is sex, changing people, ladders, 46 chromosomes. I mean, it's everywhere. By the way, when you walk up their steps, they're either 23 or 46, always, in all their temples. They get it about the chromosomes. They get it. We just didn't. So we want to be careful that we are not leading anyone astray. We want to be careful that we are being good witnesses and that we're leading people to Christ, because we're not going to be here for very long. But I foresee the Masons setting up with the Antichrist to get the DNA change, which I believe is the mark of the beast.
And so in conclusion, it appears that the Bible has from day one been teaching mankind to avoid the occultic secret practices that the devil puts out there as a mystery religion. We're warned about it in Revelation. We're warned about it in Zechariah. We're warned about it in Leviticus over and over again. God says, don't do it. Don't be involved with those. And so today we keep our mind on Christ. We keep the focus on His glorious, perfect word. And we ask that we stay centered and real until He comes back for us. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for the truth that You give us in His Word. We thank You for the wonderful direction in Your Bible. Keep us targeted. Keep us straightforward. Keep us centered on Your coming back again. And let us work and labor and lovingly go forward in Your name. We pray against any mistruths that have centered our being. We pray that the light of Your love and Your word would shine on them, that we would know what is truth and what isn't. And we love You and we worship You. In Jesus' name, amen.